Give us this day. 25 children crowded the small school building in Old England. Miss Mabel Murphy, the teacher, sat behind her desk, her back straight, her hair pulled into a tight bun on top of her head. She glanced at the clock, ticking on the shelf in the back of the room. Her heavy skirt swept the floor as she walked around to the front of her desk. Children, they straightened up on their benches and held their slates in their laps. Two boys sharing the same bench poked at each other. Boys, we'll have no more of that. Swallowing their grins, they put their hands in their laps. It's almost time to go home, Miss Murphy announced. Helen, would you please see that the smaller ones have their coats on before they leave? A tall girl wearing a faded blue dress stood, her long black hair parted down the middle, and framing her thin face and tired eyes, reached to her waist. She moved to the back of the room with a firm step, gathered up half a dozen small wraps from pegs on the wall, and took them one by one to the youngest children. A little boy touched her hand as she passed by. Smiling, she patted him on the head and returned to her place. Now everyone stand, and we will repeat the Lord's Prayer together, Miss Murphy requested. The children shuffled on their benches, braced themselves against the long boards that made the desktops, and rose to their feet. Bow your heads. The children lowered their faces and closed their eyes. Several of the smaller ones folded their hands. Our Father, which art in heaven. A chorus of voices repeated the prayer in unison with Miss Murphy. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Helen glanced at Miss Murphy, then quickly lowered her head again and shut her eyes during the rest of the prayer. Miss Murphy dismissed the children and returned to her desk. She didn't notice Helen waiting nearby until the girl coughed slightly. Oh, yes, Helen, what can I do for you? Helen approached and rested her hands on Miss Murphy's desk. Miss Murphy, I wanted to ask you about the Lord's Prayer. Yes, dear. What is it you don't understand? Well, where it says, give us this day our daily bread, what does that mean? That, my child, is a request our Lord told us to make of our Father, who will provide all our needs. But what if he doesn't? The teacher smiled and touched Helen's hands. She looked into her eyes and paused before she spoke. God always provides, she said in a gentle voice. Sometimes he tests our faith, but his promises are sure. After a deep breath, Helen thanked Miss Murphy and left the room. A thick hedge ran along one side of the path that led from the school to the small village nearby. A low rock wall beside a row of oak trees marked the edge of the field on the other side of the path. Birds building their nests chirped in the trees. Helen stayed in the warm sunshine as much as possible as she walked towards home. She passed by several farmers' homes, small stone cottages with thatched roofs, surrounded by spring flowers and vegetable gardens. At a bend on the road, she paused and gazed across the fields that sloped to a low cliff at the far end. Beyond the cliff lay the sea. The girl sniffed the salt air and searched the distant horizon for several minutes. She seemed scarcely to notice a farmer in the field, guiding a plow behind his horse, or a dog that barked at a cat beside the cottage nearby, or two honeybees that buzzed past. Helen's father, Elias Foster, was a sea captain. He had left home on a voyage 6 months before, saying that he would be home by the middle of March, but now it was nearly June, and still he had not returned, or sent word with any other returning vessel about a change in his plans. Her mother, Martha Foster, had been especially quiet about the house the past couple of weeks. With 5 children to feed and one of them a baby less than a year old, Helen understood why. She sighed and bent her steps once more towards home. Soon she walked down a narrow, winding street. The whitewashed buildings huddled against each other opened directly into the street at one side and onto a narrow sidewalk at the other. The girl heard a clatter of hoofs and loud shouts around the bend in the street ahead. She gulped and pressed into a doorway. Two horses, then four, galloped into view, followed by a gold and purple carriage with lavish carvings on the front and sides, and topped with silver ornaments. "Hi-ho! Hi-ho!" bellowed the muscular driver at the seat at the top. He waved a whip high in the air and cracked it over the horses' backs. The spirited animals raised their heads, whinnied, and clattered on down the street. Her heart still pounding, Helen pulled away from the door and continued down the street more briskly now. She knew that the carriage belonged to the king, who had a summer palace in the country nearby. Many of the townsfolk worked on the royal estate, and they had been especially busy of late. Rumor had it that in a few days the king and queen would arrive from London for their first visit of the season. Further on, the street widened, and the buildings were set back, with gardens and flowers around them. A few minutes later, Helen found her mother, with the baby on one hip, visiting in their garden with Mrs. Benton, a neighbor. She could hear her two younger brothers and her sister playing tag behind the house. "But Martha, my dear, don't you worry," Mrs. Benton asked. "It's hard, not knowing where he is, or why he doesn't return," Mrs. Foster replied. "But I trust God to take care of him." Mrs. Benton hesitated before she spoke again. "How are you doing for food?" she asked. Helen noticed that her mother caught her breath before she replied. Then she smiled. "We'll be all right. The garden will be coming on soon, you know." The neighbor glanced at the neat rows of plants in front of the house and to the side. "Yes, I suppose so. That will help a lot when things begin to come on." She looked back at Mrs. Foster. "Well, I must be going now. Things are pretty busy in the kitchen at the palace, and if I don't hurry, I'll be late for work." The girl followed her mother into the house and sat on a bench beside the large oak table in the main room. The house seemed dark in contrast to the bright sunshine outside. Her gaze darted over to the flour barrel in the corner. The ladles and mixing spoons hung on the wall, and the low fire burning in the hearth. Thinking she heard her mother say something, she turned towards her, only to see her still holding the baby, her hand over her forehead, leaning with her head bowed against the doorway into the bedroom. Even in the dim light, Helen could see the lines in her mother's face. "Mama," she called. She waited for her mother to reply. "Mama," still no answer. Helen walked over and lightly touched her mother on the sleeve of her dress. "Oh," her mother gasped, "did you say something?" "Mother, you are worried." "I do worry about your father and whether he's safe," Mrs. Foster told her. "And about whether we'll have enough to eat?" Helen asked. Helen's mother smoothed back the baby's hair several times with her hand. Then she turned to Helen. "I'm sure he'll be back soon. Why don't you go out and hoe the weeds in the garden so that it will look nice when he comes? Get the other children to help you. I'll be out when I get the baby to sleep." Each day after school, Helen searched the sea for some sign of her father's arrival. She hoped she would find him in the house when she got home, but she half knew he wouldn't be there, and he wasn't. Her mother seemed more and more preoccupied as time went by. Her younger brothers and sisters were playing in the garden as usual when Helen returned home one day about a week later. She sensed something was wrong the minute she stepped inside the house. It seemed strangely silent. Helen blinked in the dark and made her way to the bedroom. She found her mother sitting on the edge of the bed, weeping. "Mama," she cried, "is there bad news? Has something happened to Father?" Mrs. Foster shook her head and pressed her handkerchief to her eyes. Helen sat down beside her on the bed. She felt her mother slip an arm around her and draw her close. The girl could see her bloodshot eyes and her lids red around the edges and swollen. Looked as if she had been crying a long time. "No," Mrs. Foster said at last. "There's no news from your father. That's the trouble." Helen drew away from her mother and looked straight into her face. "Mama," she said, "is it because there is no more food in the house?" "There's still food. Go get the other children." The girl went to the door and called her brothers and her sister from their play. They came skipping and laughing, but the laughter faded the moment they stepped across the threshold into the house, as if afraid of disturbing someone who was sick or in a deep sleep. They tiptoed about the room. "Sit down at the table," Helen whispered. The children moved quietly to their places on either side of the table. Helen joined them. A moment later, Mrs. Foster entered the room and took a pan from the shelf. She set it on the table and removed a white cloth that covered it. 5 brown buns lay in the bottom. "Let us thank God in heaven for the food He has graciously provided," Mrs. Foster said. "When I am through praying, we will all repeat the Lord's Prayer together." The children bowed their heads and folded their hands. "Dear God," Mrs. Foster began, "we thank Thee for providing for our needs. We acknowledge Thy blessing in placing this bread on the table to satisfy our hunger and nourish our bodies. Help us to glorify Thy name with all our strength." She glanced at the children before she spoke again. "Our Father, which art in heaven," the children joined in the prayer. "Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Opening her eyes, Helen watched her mother. Mrs. Foster bit her lip before she continued. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," she said at last. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Their mother opened her eyes after the family had finished. "Children, I must tell you something." Helen noticed that her mother's voice trembled. She saw her bite her lower lip and twist a handkerchief between her hands. The younger children gazed silently at their mother. "My dears, Father has not come home, and the flour barrel is empty." She nodded towards it in the corner. "I made these buns from the last of our flour this morning. They will carry us through the night. I do not know what we will do for food tomorrow. I'm afraid that..." Her voice choked and she didn't finish the sentence. "Mama," Helen said, looking at her mother, "we just got through praying. Give us this day our daily bread. God will provide food for us tomorrow, and we don't have to worry about it." Mrs. Foster rested her forehead on her hand a few seconds. "Thank you, my dear," she whispered. "Forgive my lack of faith." She picked up the pan of buns and passed them around the table. Each child took one and held it between his hands. The children seemed to hover about the table with wide eyes. Mrs. Foster took the last bun. They ate silently, almost as though they were observing a religious ritual. Helen was just ready to put the last bite of her bun in her mouth when she heard a gentle knock at the door. "I'll get it," she said. When she opened the door, Mrs. Benton entered, carrying a large basket in her arms. "I hope you don't mind," Mrs. Benton told her, setting the basket on the table. "The king and queen didn't come to the palace yesterday as planned, so all the food prepared for the ball last night will go to waste unless we can find someone who can use it." The children gathered about the basket and stared. Mrs. Foster came to Mrs. Benton's side and slipped an arm around her waist. "Thank you, my dear," she whispered. "It certainly will help." "Good," Mrs. Benton said. And there's plenty more where this came from, if you can use it. Send the boys down to the palace kitchen in a few minutes, and I'll see that they get all they can carry. Helen can come, too. And now I must get back." The neighbor left. The children jumped up and down and clapped their hands. "God did provide, Mama," one of the boys exclaimed. "He gave us enough bread for many days." Helen and her mother looked at each other and smiled. The girl noticed that her mother's eyes sparkled. "God did provide," Mrs. Foster repeated, "and from the king's own table."